Yes, it is. It is a Tuesday Wildcat Insider from Go Powercat, GoPowercat.com. Riley Gates is with us. Riley, we just played a cut from cornerbacks coach Van Malone, and I don't know if I can decipher what he was trying to say, but I believe what he was trying to say was that the defense is going to be aggressive. Did you happen to hear that?
I didn't hear on the radio
right.
here, obviously. I was there yesterday.
Right.
I didn't just hear what they played, though.
Right, yeah, but you heard him say aggressive, right?
Correct.
Yeah, because he said aggressive a lot. In fact, I thought he was going to break out into that old cheerleading, be aggressive, be aggressive, because he said it so often. So what does that mean? I mean, is that lip service? I mean, or is that one just wanting to make clear to everybody this defense is going to be different from what you've seen in the past?
Well, Van Malone is a card. Let's just say that he's something else. But no, you know, I think they're going to try to play aggressive this season. I do think he's. I think he's speaking of what he actually feels. I think he's saying what he hopes to do right now. And, you know, obviously you got to kind of change as you go if it's not working. But, I mean, I can't think of a whole lot of people out there, a whole lot of coaches out there that would prefer to be conservative first.
Yeah.
You know, I'd assume that a lot of them want to be aggressive from the start. And so I think it's good. I think KJ has the guys that, you know, they'd prefer to play aggressive. They'd prefer to get up in receivers' face and, it sounds like Van Malone's going to allow them to do that.
All right, so we've talked about, we'll just start there on the defensive side, because we've talked about, last week you mentioned cornerback, which, oddly enough, Van Malone coaches the corners, that they're a little bit, maybe that's the weakness of the defense. But then also depth is always a concern for really any program, except if you're Alabama, Clemson, and others, maybe Oklahoma, that your third stringer can still step in and be fine. But for other schools, it's not the case. And K-State's, I know they have at least one injury in regards to the depth of their linebacking core. Just tell us where things stand so far through practices up to this point.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's been a pretty healthy camp. Cody Fletcher was in a boot yesterday on his right foot. You know, haven't had the chance to ask really about that, mainly because Scotty Hazleton didn't speak yesterday. You know, we'll go talk to Coach Kleiman today and Scotty Hazleton on Friday. So we'll get a real evaluation of where Cody's at. You know, he wasn't a starter by any means, but I think he probably can contribute some time at linebacker this season. So we'll see if he's able to go. We'll see if it's a serious injury. I'm not sure just where that's at. And then also fullback Adam Harder was carted off on a gator the other day. He wasn't like that one, you know, like knee injuries where you sit on the back and you've got your leg out, you know, anything like that. But he was in the front seat of the gator, obviously not able to walk back to the facility. So, you know, not sure where he stands, but it sounds like he could be out for a while. But those are really the only two notable injuries, though, honestly. I mean, they haven't had any big ones hit them in fall camp, knock on wood, obviously. So as of right now, they seem pretty healthy. They seem like they're, you know, everybody's still rolling along fine right now. And obviously Justin Hughes still out for the season from his knee injury in the spring. But other than that, they've got their full team. They just need to get to the season healthy.
Riley Gates, our guest, Wildcat Insider, GoPowercat, GoPowercat.com, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Well, we touched upon this a little bit last week, but maybe you know a little bit more since we spoke last week, and that is the backup quarterback situation, because we know Skylar Thompson has been banged up at times. Of course, last year, concussion, and then he told us that he was battling a sports hernia as well. And so if he gets banged up or has to go down, somebody's got to – it's the next man up. Where do we stand in the backup quarterback competition?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's still probably Nick Ost as of today. It doesn't sound like a whole lot has changed. It didn't look like a whole lot has changed at practice. But, you know, it still feels like 2A and 2B with Nick Ost and John Holcomb. I feel like they're still trying to push Holcomb to figure some things out to be mentally there. He's physically there, you know. But the quarterback position is not just about your physical capabilities. It's about a whole lot more, as everybody knows. So I think they're just working on getting him to the point where they feel comfortable putting him in that QB2 spot. But as of now, it sounds like it's Nick Ost. And honestly, though, it sounds like it's starting to thin out a little bit in the quarterback room. I mean, with Jaron Lewis there assumingly holding down that fourth spot, they've started to experiment a little bit with Chris Herron, the freshman signing out of Texas, and see if he can play the receiver position. I mean, he's a very athletic kid. He's played quarterback for a few years, but, you know, he was a receiver up until about halfway through his sophomore year of high school. So he has receiver experience, and it sounds like they're really, you know, they want to give him a fair chance at quarterback. If he shows them a lot, they're obviously going to keep him at the position. But he's really started to work with the receivers in practice. He's taken off his green no-contact jersey, and so he seems like he's beginning to make that switch, and I wouldn't be shocked if he makes the full switch here over the next few weeks.
All right, so the top 25 preseason poll came out yesterday, and you were looking at it, I know, and noted that there's some ranked teams on K-State's schedule, and then there's others that are receiving votes. Of course, when you're in the Big 12, you have 10 teams. There'll be probably six, seven teams in the conference that are going to receive some votes. What stood out to you when you saw the poll yesterday? Not that it means much, because at the end of the year, I mean, there are guys, teams that are in the top 10 that are completely out and barely bowl eligible. Teams that aren't in the top 25 end up being a team that's maybe even competing for a playoff bid or berth. But what were your impressions of the top 25 and what stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, for the most part, you get your expected ones, you know, the Alabama, Clemson, Georgia at the top and all of those. A little shocked to see Oklahoma at number four, but I knew they'd be a top 10 team. I just didn't know if they'd be as high as four, just given, you know, trying to replace a quarterback, trying to replace some other pieces. I also thought Texas would be higher considering the preseason hype, but I actually feel like 10 is very appropriate, and I think that Texas is really in a good spot there. You know, other than that, I wasn't really too blown away by the teams that were ranked. You know, Nebraska at 24, okay, you know, whatever, that's an interesting pick, I guess, but I'm not a voter. The thing that really, really caught me off guard and the thing that I wasn't expecting was if you go all the way down to the teams receiving votes, you've got West Virginia and Oklahoma State both getting three. Now, Oklahoma State, I can understand to a certain extent. I wasn't totally blown away to see him there, but I also didn't think I would see him there. The West Virginia pick just makes no sense to me. Three people voting for West Virginia. To me, I don't want to say. I haven't actually. You can go look at who voted West Virginia on certain sites, and I need to go do that. And so I don't say this without backing, but it almost feels like it's just, you know, people out there on the East Coast kind of trying to vote their teams into the polls, because I don't know how you can look at the West Virginia situation, you know, losing one of the best coaches in program history, losing a quarterback in Will Grier, who was an NFL quarterback. You lose three significant players in the defensive backfield. I mean, to me, K-State and West Virginia are on the exact same level right now, and I didn't expect K-State to get any votes. So I was blown away that West Virginia got three votes. Now, it's just three votes, and if they lose one game, you know, they'll bounce right out of there. But really, really shocked to see West Virginia getting three.
And what about Nicholls? They're ranked 11th. Okay, not in the same poll, but they're ranked 11th. I mean they're a team that they do well at their level of play. It's a first game of the year for K-State with new coaching staff and some new faces in different places. And you never know what you got until you actually, you know, are under fire, which you will be on August the 31st at Bill Snyder Family Stadium at 6:00. But what's the early thing? Have you heard anything yet much about Nicholls? Because they are apparently highly respected at their level.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Nicholls State they are one of the teams that competes at that level. I mean, obviously don't win it. North Dakota State's kind of been holding that down, you know, just for a while, but, I think that they are a team that could potentially make some noise. They're not going to lay over. They're not going to not show up at all. But I also don't think that K-State there's no reason that K-State should have any issues with Nicholls State. I mean, they should be able to hold them off on their home turf. You know, I know KU lost to them last year, but you know, obviously K-State and KU aren't on the same level. K-State's got more talent. And the notable thing here is that yesterday, actually, really funny that you bring it up, they had a receiver get arrested on intent to distribute marijuana charges yesterday. And so we don't really know kind of where his, you know, where that stands. Obviously, on a charge that serious, I have a tough time imagining he's going to be ready to go next Saturday. But, you know, he had almost almost 1,000 yards last season. He had caught 53 passes for 753 yards, and he had 7 touchdowns for the team. So that's a big loss, obviously, if you're Nicholls State and he can't take the field. And that's something that, you know, something like that happens, let's just assume he's not playing in that game against K-State. Well, if you're K-State, you gotta take full advantage of that. You can't allow them to have anything then if they're down one of their better weapons on offense.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, let's change gears for a moment before we get to the off-the-wall question. Jeff Mitty, head coach of the K-State women's basketball team, getting an extension. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, interesting. I think, you know, I don't mean it to come off as I don't think he necessarily deserved it. I think it was really impressive to get the team back into the NCAA tournament. I think they had a good season, and I think they're on the right path. I just was shocked to see him get the extension because, you know, he was already under contract through 2022. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't really sit here and say, oh, it's just one of those recruiting contracts. You know, he just needs it for recruiting purposes because you still had, you know, 2 to 3 years to really kind of offer that security, that blanket of, hey, I'm going to be here for a while. But regardless, they extend him out through you know, 2023. And I think that it's good to show that they kind of have that faith in Jeff Mitty. You know, I think he's probably the steady hand that the program needs. I like the way that he coaches the team. You know, it's kind of a no-nonsense. He's going to tell you how he's actually feeling. He's not going to just look for the positives all the time, even when there's a bunch of negatives. You know, he'll always point at the negatives. So I think this is a good one, but it raises the expectation for him. You know, you can't continue to go right around, hover around 500 in the Big 12. They need to start, you know, progressively going towards that 11-7, 12-6 mark in the conference, because I think they're a program that honestly should be expected to be at that level. You know, I'm not saying beat Baylor every year for the conference championship, but I certainly do think that with this extension, you know, he should be expected to continue taking it up, and hopefully he will.
Yep, I would agree with you. Well said. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. What is the ideal temperature for your living room, Riley? I know it's not 78 degrees, and let me give people a background on this real quick. Riley's seen this. I've seen it. The federal program Energy Star did some kind of study, and they say this is what you should do to be energy efficient in your home. The coolest you should keep your house, the living room or whatever, your house when you're in it, 78 degrees, and when you're away at work, 85 degrees. You should change the thermostat to 85. And when you're sleeping, it should be at 82. Now, I'm going to say right now, our house is actually, believe it or not, 78 degrees, 75 to 78. Last night when I saw this on Twitter, our thermostat was at 78 degrees. Now, we have a nice big ceiling fan we put in recently. That definitely helps to where we don't notice that we have it at 78. It feels nice and comfortable. 85 when you're away at work. We do that a lot. We go out away for a day or two or a week. We'll turn that thing to 85 so it doesn't, you know, kick on and whatever, save some utility bills. But the one I really have a problem with, 82 when you're sleeping. My Lord. I mean, 82. Why have sheets or a comforter? Because you're going to need some air coming in. 82 degrees when you're sleeping. Now, for us, we usually 75 to 78. That's our range. But I got a feeling that 78 degrees is just not quite good enough for you when it comes to your home when you're in it. So what is your ideal temperature, Riley Gates?
Well, let me just say something first. I've never known, and maybe it's because every house I've lived in where I pay the bills is, you know, with roommates, and so people are coming and going, so there's not a whole lot of reason to do it, but we don't ever touch our thermostat when we leave for the day. Maybe that's dumb for me, but, you know, I used to live in a four-person house with a bunch of guys, so guys were coming in and out and going. Now I live in a small apartment, so it's like, well, is it really going to save that much if I kick it up? But I don't know. Maybe that's something I should start doing to save a few bucks here and there. If money was no, you know, the cost of the energy bill was no matter, I would have it at like 68 degrees in here. I love it cold. I can't stand being hot. I will always take it chilly and try to be comfortable, but you do need a factor. That's if no money's factored in. Right. Money is obviously a big factor, so the max I'll ever put our thermostat on, even when, you know, in the middle of June, July, is 72, but we usually shoot for about 70 to 72 in that range.
70 to 72, and so is it stay that way all day long when you're sleeping, you don't adjust it?
Yeah, no, we don't touch it. Maybe I'm losing the money that I should be looking into a little bit differently, but I just don't ever touch it. It's comfortable. I like to sleep in it. I like to sit in it, and I like to come home to it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, especially when you got other people coming in and out all the time, because you start messing with it, then everybody's going to mess with a thermostat to get it back to where they want it. Whereas if you all have agreed on a temperature and you like it, there's really no sense in changing it unless you're all going to be gone for like a month, and it might be smart to change it or something. But no, I'm with you. I mean, but 82 when you're sleeping, that just seems way too hot.
Why would you ever want to be uncomfortable in your own home? That makes no sense to me.
Yes, and especially when you're trying to sleep, because sleep, I understand, also from the federal study, tells me it's very important to get lots of sleep for your health. So 82 degrees, I don't think is good for my health, Riley.
No, absolutely not.
or yours, yeah. All right, man, what are you working on at Go Power Cat right now?
Yeah, it's picking up. Obviously, football game week's next week, and we are starting to get a lot more stuff in. We put out 12 content items yesterday, just from different football media availabilities and stuff. We'll go talk to Coach Kleiman, like I said, today, Scotty Hazleton on Friday, and then next week it's game week. So, you know, we'll be back into our regular game week schedule of content, and that's obviously always really good. A lot of free, a lot of VIP, a lot of everything. So, get on over and, podcasts, videos, stories, anything. We've got it all for you.
That's right. Next week we'll be previewing K-State's opener. That's hard to believe. It's almost here. Riley, thanks. Great job as always. Stay cool, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Talk to you then.
All right. Riley Gates, our Wildcat insider. Go Power Cat, gopowercat.com, every single Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.